Good morning, everyone. Shall we pray? Lord God, thank you for your Bible. Thank you for these words that you've given us. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us understand them this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, how many of you like to watch a box set series? I love a good box set because you get this massive storyline through the whole series, but then you get these little subplots in each of the episodes. And well, Dan last week kicked off our latest sermon series, which is called Back to Basics. And it's a little bit like a box set because we're looking at what Christians believe and what it means to live as a Christian. And as we explore these different truths, we'll see how they fit together into this big storyline of just how much God loves us, how he loves us deeply and faithfully and eternally. And this morning we are on episode 2 of our box set series. And so like with any good box set, I need to start with this. Previously on HDR, Back to Basics. So I cannot do Dan's excellent sermon from last week any kind of justice in 2 minutes. But the good news is it is online, so if you want to catch up and listen, you can. But I'm just going to summarise what he covered. So Dan posed the question, how can I come to God, who is holy and righteous and good, when I am not? How can we know God as Father and friend, and he is holy and we aren't? And the answer is Jesus. Jesus took his wrongdoing on himself, took our wrongdoing on himself, and instead gives us his perfect life and righteousness. And through this gift of grace, and the word that Dan spoke about was justification, through justification, we can come into God's presence just as we are. And that really could be the end of the story, couldn't it? Because if we're able to come into God's presence, what more do we really need? We can come into the presence of the creator of the universe, know that we are loved, we are wanted, we belong eternally. What more do we need? But I wonder if you do that thing with box sets and you see that there's quite a lot of episodes left, so you think, nah, there's got to be more going on here. And there is more. There is a lot more. We've been given the gift of justification, but God has many more gifts to give to us. Now, how many of you struggle to get doctor's appointments at the moment? It is really hard, isn't it? Well, imagine if you battled with the telephone queue, you negotiated with the receptionist, you got your appointment, and then you didn't turn up. That would be a bit silly, wouldn't it? Because the appointment isn't the goal. That is just the first step. And what we really need is to see the doctor. And so Jesus has battled with sin and death so that we can be in the presence of God. And that's just the first step, because the story continues as we spend time in God's presence. Now, Dan used this wonderful image of us being given new and clean clothes by Jesus. So he reminded us that there's this imagery in the Bible that our wrongdoing is a little bit like we're wearing dirty and stained clothes. But as Dan said, God takes off those dirty clothes, puts them onto Jesus, who disposes them forever, and instead leaves us clothed in clean and bright and perfect clothes. Now, this is wonderful. We can be in the presence of God, holy and blameless in his sight. But do our thoughts and words and actions match those new, perfect and holy clothes? I feel a bit like this muddy person wearing this rather lovely white dress. And there's a bit of a gap, isn't there? And it's a bit like when my husband, Neil, he ran the Grim Challenge, which is a little bit like Tough Mudder. So you're running this assault course through mud. And he was absolutely caked in mud at the end. But we were going for lunch afterwards. And there were no showers or anything. So he just put a clean top on over the top and pretended that he wasn't actually caked in mud. And it sort of did the trick, except for the mud in his hair. But, and so through Jesus, all my sin and shame is gone. I'm holy and blameless before God. But yet my behaviour is really not holy and blameless. I get things wrong rather often. And I suspect I'm probably not the only one. So what is God doing here? Is he giving us this new set of clothes and this new identity as a kind of disguise so that we can just put on that top over the mud and pretend we're not really caked in it so that he doesn't really notice that we're not actually perfect and holy? Or is God doing something rather different? So we know that the big story in this box set is that God loves us so deeply. So is God doing something different, something far more loving than just giving us a holy disguise? Well, let's ponder that. Now, have you ever had to wear a special outfit for a new job or a new club or something? I remember the first time at school when I put on a lab coat and goggles, and I felt like a real scientist, and it was brilliant. And then I remember the time when I started my first office job on school work experience, and I put on this suit, and my parents said, "Oh, you really look the part." And yes, on both these occasions, I did look the part. So when I was in the science room, I could sit there looking all scientific. But if you gave me access to the chemicals cupboard, I could probably do quite a lot of damage. And in the office, I did look very professional. But if you gave me access to the email system, I could probably lose quite a few clients very quickly. So in both these cases, I looked the part. But I looked the part so that I could learn to become the part. I looked like a scientist and an office worker so that I could learn to become a scientist and an office worker. And when my daughter Abigail first started brownies, she didn't know everything there was to know about being a brownie when she put on that uniform. But she wore the uniform because she was joining a community. And that was a community that she would belong to and grow into. And so when God gives us our new, forgiven, and holy identity through Jesus, when he takes away those stained and dirty clothes and replaces them with clean and shiny, new Jesus-like clothes, it's not a disguise to sneak us into God's presence. It's not to cover up the messy us so that he doesn't notice that actually we are a little bit imperfect. And nor do we become like Jesus overnight. Instead, it's because he's giving us this new identity and these new clothes to grow into. We look the part so that we can become the part. Because as Dan said, there's no entry exam. There's not a list of things that we need to be able to do before we can come to God. We're welcomed through grace. He is welcoming us into his love, into his kingdom, his community, so that we can belong and gradually grow and learn what that means. And this is what we call sanctification. Because one day there won't be this mismatch between our new and holy identity and clothes before God and our rather imperfect thoughts and words and actions. Because one day we will be complete and whole and holy and perfect without sin. And it's almost like God is seeing us how one day we really will be. And that day won't happen in this lifetime. But the journey towards that time begins the moment we come into the presence of God. Sanctification as well, gradually becoming whole and complete and holy. And our passage this morning helps us to explore what this means. So in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And perhaps that list reminds you of Jesus, because it was his compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience that led him to the cross and that leads us into God's presence. They are the clothes that Jesus wears. And in verse 10, it says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Because we look the part to become the part. We're growing and being sanctified to become more like Jesus. We were created in God's image, and we're growing to reflect it more accurately. And that's a really wonderful thing to aim for, isn't it? Because sin hurts, doesn't it? We all know that. We've all been on the receiving end of someone hurting us. And we've all seen what happens when we hurt others. So we can see that this is a good thing that we want to aim for. So how does sanctification happen? Sounds like a good thing, but how do we do it? How do we grow into these new clothes and this new identity that we've been given? We look the part before God, so how do we become the part? Well, when Jesus was on earth, he was a carpenter, and he would have sat with his earthly dad, Joseph, and he would have watched him working with the wood, and gradually, Joseph would have given him tools to try and use. And Jesus would have learned the skills, kind of a bit like an apprentice. But then if you fast forward a few years to Jesus' time of ministry, this apprentice theme continues. But it's the other way around this time. As Jesus preached and taught and healed and forgave sins, his disciples would have been the apprentices, watching, learning, listening. And then Jesus went out to send them to send the good news too. And even they went on to heal and cast out demons. And so to grow into these wonderful clothes that God has given us, we need to become apprentices of Jesus. We need to watch him. We need to learn from him. And we need to learn from one another too. And today, by coming into church, we have stepped into that sanctification process. We've stepped into that process of learning to become like Jesus. And Jesus would have read the scriptures to his disciples. And today we heard from a letter from one of his followers. And that helps us and teaches us what we should and shouldn't do as Christians. And there's some pretty heavy stuff in there, isn't there? Put to death, therefore, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, lying. Oh, it's a big long list, isn't it? And I'm sure when you hear that list, you probably think, I'm okay on some of those, but perhaps not all of them. And like apprentices, we need to listen, we need to learn, and then we can try again. And like the disciples, we do it together in community. And some of us may have been Christian for a long time. And some of us, this may be very new to us. And there may be bits of the Bible that confuse us. But together as a community, with God leading us and helping us through his Holy Spirit, we can learn and we can make sense of it together. And it happens gradually. In a job situation, we might be given an appraisal where the boss gives us this big, long list of things that we need to be able to do. And they might even say, if you can't do these things soon, you're going to lose your job. Well, thankfully, God isn't like that. When we come into God's presence, he doesn't suddenly give us this big long list of things that we need to change, all the things we need to do to fit into these new holy clothes. And there's no deadline. Because remember, we've read that he is kind and compassionate and gentle and patient. And nor does he expect us to change on our own. Because it's him who's busy at work in our hearts and in our minds. And he gradually helps us to see what he's working on in our lives. And all the while, he's reminding us that we are so deeply loved and we are valued and accepted, no matter what else we need to work on. Well, a few weeks ago at our Palm Sunday service, we had a take-home question to ponder. And it was, if Jesus had a job today, what would it be? It's a great question to think about. He was a carpenter back 2,000 years ago, but what would he be today? And I heard a few ideas. He might be a plumber. He might be a car mechanic, a social worker, maybe a teacher. And these are all really interesting suggestions, and they're probably inspired by what we know of Jesus, that he fixes things and he cares for people. And one other suggestion I heard was that Jesus might be a doctor. And perhaps that was inspired by the number of healings that we see him do in the Bible. But healing is a really important part of sanctification, because often our sin and the things that we do wrong are closely entwined by the ways that we have been hurt. Perhaps we've been told by others that we're not good enough, or we struggle to trust because somebody has broken our trust. Or perhaps we struggle with anger and resentment because we just can't forgive someone. And these deep hurts are often beyond our reach, and sometimes we might not even know that they're lurking. And we talked earlier about how getting an appointment to see the doctor is only the first step. The goal is to spend time with the doctor so that they can help us. And part of spending time in God's presence is about the healing work that he needs to do in each one of us. The healing that we might not even realize that we need. But we are in expert hands, and I'm reminded of the beautiful words of Psalm 139. And I won't read the whole thing this morning, but this verse kind of sums it up. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Because God loves us, and he knows us fully and deeply. He knows where the hurts are. He knows where the broken bits are. And he can, and he will help us. But this isn't always a comfortable process. And the other job that I wondered if Jesus might have if he were here today is being a physiotherapist. A few years ago, I broke my arm and I saw a physiotherapist who had to do some rather unpleasant things to get my arm moving again. And it felt very uncomfortable. And if you've ever had physiotherapy, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Because it's just amazing how quickly your body forgets what it's supposed to be doing. But through her work, I gained full movement of my arm again. And the Christian life is a bit like that. God wants us to be whole and complete and to have full movement. We're often held back by things of the past, or perhaps lies that we believe in the present. Perhaps we think we aren't quite good enough to do what God is calling us to do. And then we become limited. But God stretches us and pushes us to get us that full moment, full movement, that full life that he designed us to have. And so as we come to the end of this episode in our box set, I want to leave us with a question. Are we going to join in? God loves us so deeply that he has given us this new identity. He's given us these new sets of holy and perfect clothes so that we can come into his presence. But that is just the beginning, because he loves us so deeply that he wants to transform us. He wants to make us whole and complete and holy and to become like Jesus. And he's ready. He's ready to teach us. He's ready to guide us. He's ready to heal us. He's ready to take us on that journey so we don't just look the part, but we become the part. But are we going to join in? Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, thank you that you love us so deeply. Thank you that you want to transform us into the complete and whole and holy people you designed us to be. And Lord, sometimes we're scared to go on this journey. Sometimes we doubt and we don't think it's possible for us to change. But Lord, help us to invite you in. Help us to listen to you. Help us to see where you are at work in us. Help us to become more like you. And thank you, Lord, that you love us deeply and completely and unconditionally. Lord God, help us to know this morning. Amen.